Welcome to the Mental Minute, an AI-generated podcast. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the gambler's fallacy. You might also hear it called the Monte Carlo fallacy, or the fallacy of the maturity of chances. Have you ever felt like, after a string of bad luck, that a win is just around the corner?
Oh, yeah.
That things are due to turn around?
Absolutely.
That feeling that you get
is
what we're going to be dissecting today.
I think we all have that feeling at its heart. The gambler's fallacy is this mistaken belief that past random events can somehow influence future ones when they're totally independent of one another. And it's very seductive, especially when it comes to games of chance, where if we see a series of one outcome, we instinctively feel like the opposite has to be on its way to even things out. But this intuition is often leading us astray. And it's interesting to think about the fact that our brains are wired for pattern recognition. I mean, it's a crucial skill for survival. Identifying cause and effect, even if it's sometimes illusory, especially when it comes to random sequences, that ability has likely been very advantageous throughout human history. So the gambler's fallacy may just be a byproduct of this really deeply ingrained mechanism where we're over-applying our pattern detecting abilities to situations where they really don't apply.
So to make this a little bit more concrete,
please,
let's imagine that we're flipping a fair coin. 50 heads or tails each time. Now, say you get heads four times in a row. What's the probability of that fifth flip being heads?
So many people, I think, intuitively feel that tails is more likely, that it's due. And this is where that gambler's fallacy kicks in. It's suggesting that the universe needs to balance out that run of heads with the tails. But the crucial thing to grasp here is the independence of each coin flip.
Right.
Those four previous heads have absolutely zero impact on the fifth flip. The probability remains 12. It's a fresh start every single time.
So even if we had a million heads in a row, that million and first flip is still 50-50.
Exactly. It doesn't create some cosmic pressure for tails to come up.
Right.
Yeah. It's tempting to think that a long streak must correct itself. But randomness doesn't keep score like that.
It really doesn't. And what's also interesting to note here is that any specific sequence of 21 coin flips, whether it's 21 heads or 20 heads followed by a tail, has the exact same minuscule probability, which is about 1 in 2 million.
Wow.
So the fallacy really tricks us into thinking that sequences with more variety are somehow more likely than these uniform streaks. But statistically, they're all equally improbable beforehand.
So this isn't just about coins, right?
No.
We were talking about rolling dice. Let's say you're rolling a 16-sided die.
Okay.
And you want to roll one. Each roll is independent. With a 1 in 16 chance of getting that one, if you roll several times and you don't get a 1, does your probability of getting a 1 on the next roll increase?
That feeling of, like, eventual luck is the heart of the fallacy. Each roll of that fair die is independent, thus past failures don't make a success any more likely on the next attempt. In fact, if you think about the probability of getting at least one over multiple rolls, each failure actually slightly decreases your overall chance of having succeeded at least once, simply because you have fewer rolls left. It's counterintuitive, but that's the nature of independent probabilities.
It feels like the longer you go without it happening, the closer you must be to it actually happening.
It does feel that way.
Can you give us a really striking example of this in action?
Absolutely. The most famous case is from the Monte Carlo Casino in 1913.
Okay.
The roulette wheel there landed on black, an astonishing 26 times in a row. Now, the odds of that happening with a fair wheel are astronomical. It's about 1 in 66.6 million. What happened next? Perfectly illustrates the gambler's fallacy. People bet fortunes on red, convinced it was due to appear, and they lost millions. Because, of course, each spin remained independent. That 27th spin had the same probability of landing on red as any other spin.
So it's a huge loss.
It is.
Fueled by a faulty belief.
Yes.
So when doesn't this gambler's fallacy apply?
Well, the fallacy really hinges on the idea of independence. When events are not independent, the past absolutely can influence the future. Think about drawing cards from a deck without putting them back. If you draw an ace, the probability of drawing another ace on your next draw decreases because there are now fewer aces left and fewer total cards left.
Right.
Card counting in blackjack actually exploits this very dependency.
Makes sense.
The composition of the deck changes with each card drawn.
Yeah, the pool of possibilities is actually changing.
Exactly. Another key exception is when a long run of one outcome suggests a bias in the underlying process. So if a coin lands on heads 21 times in a row, it's reasonable to suspect that that coin isn't actually fair, that it's biased towards heads. In this case, the past outcomes provide evidence about the coin's inherent properties, making future heads more likely. This is more aligned with what we might call Bayesian thinking, where we're updating our beliefs based on new evidence. And the play Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead playfully explores this idea of improbable streaks making us question reality.
Yeah, where the unlikelihood of the event forces you to reconsider your assumptions about the system itself.
Precisely. And finally, if external factors are changing the probabilities of events, the gambler's fallacy wouldn't apply.
Right.
For example, if the rules of a game change. Or if an athlete refines their technique, past performance might actually inform future outcomes because the underlying probabilities have shifted.
So you mentioned that we're prone to this fallacy because our brains look for patterns. Are there different types of this faulty thing?
Yeah. Researchers have identified variations.
Okay.
The classic one we call type one is this belief that an outcome is due after a streak of another.
Okay.
And then type two is underestimating the amount of data needed to detect a real bias.
Okay.
So someone might see a few more reds than blacks on a roulette wheel and think they found a flaw they can exploit with just a few observations, when in reality, it's just random variation.
So type one is expecting this correction in a fair system. And type two is prematurely concluding that a system isn't fair.
Exactly. And then there's also the retrospective gambler's fallacy.
Okay.
This is where we look at a sequence of events and assume a past unknown event must have been the opposite of the subsequent trend. So, for example, seeing a long run of heads and thinking the very first flip must have been tails. This can even extend to philosophical arguments about the origins of the universe.
Interesting. So that's a really abstract extension of the idea.
It is.
What about the hot hand fallacy in sports?
Yeah.
Where people think a player on a scoring streak is more likely to score again? That seems like the opposite of the gambler's fallacy.
You hit on a crucial distinction there. The gambler's fallacy is negative recency, expecting a reversal. The hot hand fallacy is positive recency, expecting the streak to continue. And it's theorized that we might see random systems as self-correcting, hence the gambler's fallacy. Whereas we see human performance as potentially having this momentum, hence the hot hand.
Interesting.
And studies have found evidence of both fallacies in people's decision-making, even in financial markets.
So our perception of whether something is random or skill-based influences which bias we might exhibit.
It seems so.
So is there anything actually happening in our brains when we fall for this fallacy?
Yeah, emerging research suggests there is. fMRI studies indicate that after a loss, the frontoparietal network, which is involved in executive functions, becomes more active, potentially driving the increased risk-taking associated with the gambler's fallacy. Simultaneously, activity in the amygdala, which processes emotions, tends to decrease. And surprisingly, higher amygdala activity is linked to less susceptibility to the fallacy. The striatum, which is involved in learning from outcomes, also shows altered activity in those prone to the gambler's fallacy.
So it's a complex interplay of cognitive and even neurological factors.
Yeah.
Which makes it a real challenge to overcome.
It does.
Are there any ways to fight this bias?
Well, it is a stubborn bias. Education about randomness alone often isn't enough. Studies have shown that even when people understand the independence of events, they can still act as if past outcomes matter.
Hmm.
However, some research suggests that susceptibility might decrease with age. Another promising approach is to try and reframe how we see sequences of random events, if we can learn to see each event as a new independent trial,
okay,
rather than part of a continuous streak. The gambler's fallacy's grip might weaken. For instance, presenting a series of coin tosses as separate blocks rather than a continuous string has been shown to reduce the effect of the fallacy.
So mental reframing, focusing on the independence of each event might be key.
It might.
And this isn't just something that happens in casinos. You mentioned that this affects real-world decisions too.
It does.
Can you give some examples?
Absolutely. Research has shown that asylum judges are less likely to grant asylum after two successive approvals. Baseball umpires are slightly less likely to call a third strike if they've already called two previous pitches as strikes.
Interesting.
Even loan officers without specific incentives have been found to be less likely to approve a loan after just approving a previous one.
So it's like a negative.
Mm-hmm.
Autocorrelation.
It is.
Creeping into judgment.
Creeping into those really important decisions.
Yeah, with real consequences.
Yep.
What about lotteries?
After certain numbers win, those same numbers are chosen significantly less often. In subsequent draws, this effect fades over time, but initially that unlucky feeling is strong. In pari-mutuel lotteries, This avoidance can ironically create a slight value opportunity
Right.
for those willing to bet on recently winning numbers, at least in the short term, because fewer people select them, potentially leading to higher payouts, even video game loot boxes, with what are called pity timers, which guarantee rare items, after a certain number of failed attempts, can inadvertently reinforce this fallacy in players.
So the gambler's fallacy is a pervasive bias, influencing decisions across many areas of life.
It is.
So what is the most important thing to remember here?
The core message is that in truly random and independent events, the past has no memory and no influence on the future. Each flip, roll, or spin is a brand new start. Don't let that feeling that things are due to change lead you to make irrational decisions.
So as you navigate your day, be mindful of that instinct to see patterns and to expect this balance in random sequences. Think about what streeps you might be anticipating to reverse, simply because they've already occurred. Recognizing that tendency is the first step to avoiding its pitfalls.